Blog Talk Radio.
Great week, and I hope you have a better weekend to follow. And hello, Rex. How are you tonight?
All right. What's going on?
Well, not too much. Dealing with a cold snap. Other than that, there's not much happening. How's it by you?
Windy and chilly. Rained all day yesterday.
Ooh, yuck. Yeah, that just adds to the dampness of it all. Mm-hmm. I don't do that very well. It's a little much, but it's the temperature really dropped here. I don't know what it is. My daughter says it's 22. My computer says
we're going to hit the mid 20s come later.
Yeah, it's pretty chilly. Pretty chilly. What's it say? It's supposed to get down to 11 tonight. Yep. It says right now we're sitting at about 17. So keep that what? Keep it up
keep
here?
Keep that up there.
I hear you. And then, that's what I see. And I see a high of 27 for tomorrow and 48 for Sunday. Come on, Sunday. That's what I'm going to say. Anyway, just messing. But, yeah, so other than that, life is all right, I guess. Definitely. Not the company, it's the hour. And I'll tell you what, we have Kate with us. So hello, Katie, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you. I'm glad it wasn't me that made you yawn.
Oh, no, no, no. No, it's me. Trust me, 100%. So, what's up with you, Kate?
Well, nothing exactly up. A lot of it is down, but, you know, I get there.
Well, you know.
Well, get
down,
what
do
you want to do?
Hang on, both of you together is really weird. I think I'm being talked about in stereo. So weird. Hello, Rex. What were you saying, Dan?
Hello.
Hello, Mikey. How you doing?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Not what I heard. Oh, my goodness me. It's the whiskey. I'm sorry. It's the whiskey. It gets me every time. I'll be quiet now.
Oh. Do you remember Dave Larkin?
Dave Larkin?
He was he was a comedian. I think he was Irish, but he was on British television for a long time. And he'd always have a glass in his hand, and he'd be brushing his pants all the time. And he had a finger or two missing on one hand. And he said, somebody commented on him brushing his pants, and he says, "Well, I've had a few whiskeys, and I've got leprechauns crawling up my legs, and I've got to wipe the little blighters off."
Oh, dear, that's whiskey for you. Oh, my God. No, I haven't, actually. Maybe I'm not quite as old as you think I am. I am, but... Oh, my goodness, this is fun. Better than talking about the weather.
Well,
yeah, a bit chilly.
Yeah. I'm always talking about the weather.
I thought that was only an English thing, but it happens everywhere, doesn't it? Everybody mm-hmm. talks about the weather.
I think so. And once the weather gets better, we'll not talk about it so much. Then we'll bitch about how hot it is.
What will we talk about then? What on earth will we talk
about
then?
About how hot it is.
Ah,
talk about how cold
yeah.
it is, and how hot it is. Yeah. Talk about how wet it is. Yeah, the whole nine yards. We don't
get the heat here, so we won't be talking about hot. We'll just be talking about not quite as cold. I hate this country's weather.
Oh God, we get some real hot stuff over here. Not as hot as some, so I shouldn't complain. Oh my goodness. So, what is happening? Let's see. Well, it looks like we have a nice full board for tonight, which is nice, very nice. And I'm looking forward to hearing what everybody has to say. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 carryovers from last week. I could have just remembered that instead of having to count them again, but memory isn't what it used to be. And, I'm kind of looking forward to it. So, I don't know. But I guess maybe I should shut up and get it rolling because we do have almost 20 pieces on the board, and that usually takes us almost the whole show. That's how we had 7 to carry it. I just say it.
Just saying. I love that.
That's me. Look, webbing weird Wonderland. Yeah, there you go, Spider-Man. He went from being the alien dude to being Spider-Man. I say Hoverman. Okay, Rex, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have you kick us off tonight. And this piece is called Lamentations by Average White Man, whenever you're ready.
Lamentations by Average White Man. Loving you was an act of glorious suicide, a supine self-flagellation, bringing me crippling personal shame. Loving you was the final desperate act of a committed lover and romantic, and a gentleman of a bygone time, caressing the bleeding heart of all that you imagine to be merely a silly girl's fantasy, of a man who never really existed, except in the dreams we created. And you, what were you, the long sable goddess of all my dormant desires, a red-headed siren beckoning my ships to your emerald coast, a femme fatale for the sleepwalking fool, so we alighted with abandon, that which became the fevered, hurtling train of passion. I was so easily intoxicated by your physical beguilement. But to know you, to truly know you, that was purest alchemy. Your lips and ripe were a font of endless bliss for me, though in truth they became a drink of the sweetest poison by proxy. A foul voice now echoes through my deserted and broken chamber. The cries peal into the ether. Repent! Repent! For all that you have rend in two, lament, lament, for the only thing I want is you. All right, Kate, we can start with you.
Wow. That was some lamentation. My goodness me. I thought that was absolutely wonderful. I mean, if you're going to self-flagellate, do it in rhyme. But I really, really enjoyed this. I thought it was, I mean, it was from beginning to end. It was a lamentation of excellence. I loved it. I don't know why I loved it. It just was so good. It just flowed. And you read it so well, which helped. But it really flowed. It, I mean, imagine all that beauty and alchemy and so ripe lips, and then he's got nothing. Ah, no wonder he's lamentating. Anyway, thank you very much, Average White Man. You are anything but average. Thank you for that.
And Jean, how about you?
You know, this is a great piece. I think it was so well done and expressed. You know, I'm trying to like hunt up a section. You know, there's a couple that are really great. Well, there's a whole lot of them that are really great. Great lines all the way through. What is this? And you, what were you, if not a long-fabled goddess of all my dormant desires? A red-headed siren beckoning my ships to your emerald coast, a femme fatale for the sleepwalking fools. So we alighted in with abandon that which became a fevered, hurtling train of passion. Just, you know, I mean, that's just a chunk of it. I mean, I really thought it was well done all the way through. So thank you, Average White Man. That's an excellent piece. And I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Nice, Jean. I hit on that nice touch up drop through the glorious suicide of supine self-flagellation. And there is a note to a self-flagellation that it walks in a bitter recriminations, but also tells a story itself, because he rolls into that note where you started with the redhead, the fabled goddess, siren. Nicely done. But he also hits on, what was it? Your lips, full and ripe for a font of endless bliss for me, though in truth they became a drink of the sweetest poison by proxy. Whew, a bite for that one. And then a foul voice now echoes through my deserted and broken chambers, the cries pealing for the ether. It does hit on bitter recriminations and self-flagellation. So nicely done, Average. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I call you?
Okay. Okay, let me see what I have here. Okay, Kate, can I get you to read the next one?
Oh, of course, my dear. The minute I get it, I'll do it.
Okay. That one in the room. And this is called Busted Ideas by Darkened Oz. Right.
Okay, hon. Not quite got it yet, but nope, still not got it. I'll try another page. Oh, got it. Excellent. Busted ideas. There are ideas in my head of many thoughts and stories, beating and pounding, trying to break through, hoping the light will soon shine upon them. But what happens when they shatter through, obliterating the bulb and plunging themselves into the abyss of darkness where ideas fall into the void, lost in the fog of forgetfulness, praying for tape or glue to patch the light back up and turn on that spark once more. End poem.
Yes.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. And Jean, what do you think?
You know, I thought it was a well-done piece. I'm trying to give it a quick reread because, of course, I got distracted. There are ideas in my head of many thoughts and stories beating and pounding, trying to break through, hoping the light will soon shine upon them. But what happens when they shatter through obliterating the bulb and plunging themselves into the abyss of darkness where ideas fall into the void? Great question. Like, you know, how many times is it when you're trying to come up with something and it just, I don't know, lost in the fog of forgetfulness? Good Lord, I can relate. I can relate. I don't know. I just think it was just really well put together, and I liked it. And I see this was written for Keeping It Brief, and it is a great brevity. Definitely, you know, it says a lot with so little. And well done, Dark and Oral. Great image to go with the piece. Absolutely.
Thank you, Gina. And Kate, you got to read it. What about you?
I'm sorry. I just love your accent. I thought the picture was absolutely sublime. I mean, what a brilliant thing to work to. You see the little hand pressing against the light bulb and then the other fist is cracking through. And yes, that's exactly what it's like when you've got ideas in your head and you latch onto one and you go back and the other ones have gone. I note down everything now. I go, and I write it down on a pad, and then I go back to the pad half an hour later and think, what the heck was that about? No idea. So it is. It's a horrible feeling when things disappear and your ideas go into the void. But this is beautifully written. It gets the whole thing out in how many words? 74 words. My goodness. I couldn't do that in 74 eons. Beautifully done, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, Dr. Norris. Thank you so much.
I understand this because my mind works a little differently, oddly. I write in puzzle pieces. Sometimes I'll run through a piece and it comes pouring out, but most times I'll write something down and that's just it. Might be a couple of words, might be a whole sentence, might be a paragraph. And then I have to wait for the next part that comes to it, and then I got to put it together. So I understand this story. That's why I always write stuff down. Even if it's just a single line or two, I find a place for it somewhere down the line where it fits. Because if you don't write it down, it does get lost. You'll never remember that very same line again, or those same few words put together, or even that small paragraph, because it comes but once. And then it disappeared into the ether. So I like that. And if you've got it written down, that spark is easy to pick up once more because somewhere down the line, the brain makes a connection when you sit down and you look at it and oh, I know where that needs to go. And you start adding to it. So nicely done, DA. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Oh, Jane, we're back on you.
Okay, well, first off, I want to welcome Laurent to the show. Hello, Laurent. How are you tonight?
Good. It's frozen, but good. How are you?
Well, less than frozen, thank
goodness.
How about
you? Hey, if I can just comment briefly on what was being said when Rex talked about, I'm not sure the phrase he used, writing in fragments, was it?
Yeah, that works. Fragments, yes.
All right. The mind is a funny thing. And I have found that sometimes I'll go back and pluck out maybe a dozen different, very disparate lines written in fragments, you know, over a period of time. And find that they just work perfectly well. It's pretty amazing.
Close the door.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Sorry for the craziness here at my house. Nothing unusual.
Where's the beast? That was too small a dog to actually be the beast.
Honest to God.
Crazy, huh?
I tell
that
you what,
light
I'm going
to fluff.
No, that's my daughter's dog, who's about, I don't know, 36 inches tall. I tell you what, I'm going to put up this next piece, Laurent, if you were to read for us. It's called Back on Song by the Lost Band Lark. Thank you.
Got it. Back on Song. I was walking in the rain just to hide my tears. I am descending again, caressing my inner fears. Hold me close. I need you now to share my lows, but only you know how. Let's sing our song. We are one. We belong. We are strong. You lift me up on those dark days, drinking the love cup. You are there always. Hold me close. I need you now to share my lows, but only you know how. Let's sing our song. We are one. We belong. We are strong. You will lead me to your sunshine bliss as it comes into view. My mind feels your kiss. Hold me close. I need you now to share my lows, but only you know how. Let's sing our song. We are one. We belong. We are strong. As the day and night now merge into one, ending the shadow's fight, and your light has won. Holding me close, I feel you now. Down are my lows, you are my vow. Singing our song, we are one, and we belong. We are strong. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. And Kate, why don't we start with you, please?
Okay, my dear. Yes, this is about as much as a lament as the last one was. It's very, very deep and sad. I mean, what does it feel like to have to lean on somebody else to make you feel strong? That must be very debilitating. I wouldn't like to feel like that ever. You know, you need to be your own strength. As far as I'm concerned, that's just me, of course. I tend to be that way inclined. But it must be nice to have someone that you can rely on to that extent, I'm sure. And this is beautifully written, that you can tell every tiny particle of pain that went into this. And whether it's true or not, it's still very, very sad and very deep. And it's very well written. So thank you so much, Lockdown Lark. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Kate. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I think this was a really well-done piece. I like to repeat stanzas throughout. But here, I pulled these lines. Hold me close, I need you now, to share my lows and as only you know how. Let's sing our song, we are one. When we belong, we are strong. You lift me up on these dark days, drinking the love cup. You're there always. I thought that was a nice segment there. And it kind of, you know, holds on to each one of the following stanzas. Because the short stanzas, I mean, you could actually just read those straight in a row and it would be just as strong, I think. You know, the shorter ones. And I think that Lockdown Lars did a great job expressing himself here. So well done, Lars, and thank you. Larks. Sorry, I keep going Lars. So well done.
Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, what about you? You got to read it.
Well, the title, Back on the Song, implies a falling away of the inner spirit, you know, when he speaks about descending again, caressing my inner fears. We all depend on someone for something. And if you have a close emotional relationship with someone, you can depend on them to that extent because in many ways, you know, you're there for each other, which I think is important. And to have somebody able to lift you back into the light, the way it's described in this poem, is the epitome of somebody who has your back, understands you. And I think we see some of that in this poem. Nice piece.
Absolutely. That title and that first stanza does hit on the note of being off key in the moment and needing that that sense of security, the rock that props you back up when you are feeling at the bottom end of maybe life or really a really bad day. And it's nice to have that little turn and that understands and can kind of caress away the saturating darkness or the blues. So I agree with you. Nicely done, Lockdown. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okay. Let me see now. The next piece I have is, here we go. Kate, I'm going to ask you to read this one. This is by Diane Z.
Okay.
Here it goes.
Just waiting for it to come along. Again. Oh, Diane Z, I got it.
Hang on 1 second, Kate. I'm so sorry, Naomi. I picked you up. I didn't see the hold button, and I just got lost. Welcome aboard, Naomi. Good thing you said I'm here.
I'm here. Hi, guys. Hello, everybody. Hello, Rex. Hi, Laura. Hi, Kate and Seal. And is there anybody else on?
Nope, just us. Just us.
Okay.
Which is plenty.
Oh, yeah. It's a party.
Hi, Naomi.
Hello.
Okay, Kate, whenever you're ready, I'll be glad to hear you read I Feel It in My Elbow by Diane D.
Okie dokie, I got it. I washed with mom on wash days, too little to help carry that big tub. An old gray galvanized catch basin. My job was to hand the next piece. She scrubbed each piece by hand, wringing and squeezing rope tight. Bed fingers wrung raw, elastic raw, making size 40 jeans look like a hat. I gave her 2 wooden clothespins. She shook furiously the heavy Levi's and flung them over the clothesline. Pinning each leg, she studied the sky. A terrified graying sky scurried west, angry wind sending rats into holes. It'll rain before the sky hides, Didi, she whispered. I feel it in my elbow. What's that mean, Mom? I questioned. Her elbow was snake oil. You'll know at Poppy's age, baby girl. I doubt it. Poppy was older than God. 59 years passed, even older than Poppy, before realizing she meant her aches. Rubbing A5C5 on my joints, I glance up. I feel this in my elbow, Mom, I whispered. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. And Naomi, since you're the new one in the room, why don't you start us off, please?
Yeah, this is just such a beautifully written, heartfelt write. When she glances up in the end there, I feel it in my elbow, Mom, I whispered. The beautiful, thoughtful poem towards her mother there. You know, the nostalgic time when she'd hang up clothes along with her mother when she was really doing something, you know, with her mom. And she's beautifully, beautifully written. I just love this, you know, and the way she says, what's that mean, Mom? I question. She rubbed her elbow with snake oil. You'll know at Poppy's age, baby girl. I doubt it. Poppy was older than God. Just put a little bit of a personal touch in there that makes the write so sincere. So a wonderful write, Diane, for sure.
Thank you, Naomi. And Laurent, how about you?
Yeah. It's amazing how seeds planted years before, as somebody who's no longer with us, now spring up into full life. The remembrance of that statement, the realization that she meant her aches, and the opportunity to talk to her mother again, whose voice drifts up out of a dark past, perhaps. And it's very, very moving, because she uses that one little story about her mother rubbing her elbow with snake oil to revisit her life, as it were. Very moving, very powerful piece, beautifully written.
Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, what about you?
Oh, what a lovely reminder of her mother and when she was young. I think that's absolutely
beautiful. It must be so nice to have memories like that. But you can imagine, you can actually see her mother. I love that, the Santa. She scrubbed each piece by hand, wringing and squeezing rope tight. Red fingers, wrung raw, elastic raw, making size 40 jeans look like a hat. I thought that was very clever. And it, as I say, it's heartfelt and very sweet. And not being able to quite understand what her mum means about the pain in her elbow, I feel it in my elbow. And then she, as she gets older, realizes exactly what she meant. And that last line, as you said, I feel it in my elbow, Mum, I whispered. I thought that was so sweet. Just a beautiful, beautiful reminder of what life should be with a mum and her children. And I think it's absolutely lovely. Thank you for sharing that with us, Diane.
Well said, Kate. Thank you. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a wonderful piece, beautifully done. I thought it was very relatable because I don't think there's one among us that can't think of one of those wonderful weather-detecting ailments that somebody in the family had and, you know, how we don't think anything about it until we get there. But I thought it was a great piece with a nod to her mother and the realization of exactly what her mother meant. And, you know, it did. It took a while, and then all of a sudden she got it. And I want to thank Diane very much for sharing this. It was a very wonderful – it was just a wonderful, wonderful piece. I thought there was a lot of heart in that. So nice work, Diane, and thank you.
You're right. It is a sweet piece, but it tells a different time, too. The thing of the old gray galvanized catch basin. My job was to hand the next piece. The wooden clothespins, then hanging out to dry on the line. That note to the snake oil. That was a nice touch. And you'll know Poppy's age, baby girl. I doubt it. Poppy was older than God. A child's note to you don't know about age, but you look at somebody and you know they are old, so to speak. And then that last stanza, 59 years past, even older than Poppy before realizing she meant her aches, rubbing A535 on my tunics. I glanced up. And that was a nice note there, too, that A535, it's an antiphlogiston. And it tells of where it's from, too. It's a Quebecian remedy from back in the early 1900s. So some snake oil from the days when people looking for something to help the little extra aches and pains. But that note that to finish off with, yeah, I know all about it now, Mom. I get where you're coming from. It took me a while to get there, but I understand. Nicely done. Thank you, Diane. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Hey. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Naomi, I have one here for you, and this is called Plate of Nibbles with a Glass of Melancholy. By Keeper. So whenever you're ready.
Okay, Plate of Nibbles with a Glass of Melancholic. Oh boy, what's that word? Tsundoku. The dapple. Tsundoku. Sundoku. The dapple of orange between trees now starts to mean something. The inky impression of your ghost upon my skin. The paler moon shyly behind its veil of leaves. With the river's stepping stones, I skip through the undulating just make a wish reminiscent. Scent, wafting desire, the smoky wick twirl ribbons, melted cake now cloy, note to wax of tongues, lesson from you, fool the lion that it may descend the mountain of its own will, busker, where my hands will not hold another stranger's. I will recite the poems tucked away from this guitar, tapping of feet on streets. Where is the gray? Mother often said heaven and hell were too easy how the afterlife could be so black and white. Vesper, intention and meaning are two different things. Often they may not intermingle. Abandonment is part of writing, perhaps the best revision poem. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't we start with you?
This is a fascinating piece. The stanzas, I think this is probably a vignette, the stanzas hang together very nicely, speaking in broad strokes of someone that he will not replace, where my hands will not hold another stranger. I will recite the poems tucked away from this guitar, tapping the feet on the streets. Each one of these could stand on its own as a small brevity, certainly, yet they are all connected in one way or another, in a way that I find, like I said, fascinating. I want a second or a third read on this, be able to discuss it intelligently, because it contains so many possible avenues of expression and interpretation. But it's very, very, it's deep, melancholic, and well written.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, yes, this does need some looking into. I think it's so cleverly done, though. I particularly like that last stanza because I can relate to it so easily. Intention and meaning are two different things. Often they may not intermingle. Abandonment is part of writing. Perhaps the best revision is to start the next poem. Yeah, I agree with that entirely because you can get bogged down in something and what you want to say and what you actually say perhaps don't come together for you. So sometimes just walking away and going back works. And the AN says, oh, melancholia, can't always have it in big bites. So here is on a platter of nibbles. So she's broken them down to bite-sized pieces. Yeah, very, very clever and very well done. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Kate. And Jean, how about you? You got to unmute first.
You're asking a whole lot of me sometimes. Wait a minute. Now let me. Dang, nabbit, I was going back and forth because I said one thing and it went for something else, and then I have to go back because I wasn't heard because I was like, well, on mute. That's the word. I thought it was a well-penned piece by Kiku. I love the intro stanza very much, but I have to say this whole write is so nicely pulled together. I love that first section, Sanduko. The dapple of orange between trees now starts to mean something. The inky impression of your ghost upon my skin, the pallid moon shyly behind its veil of leaves with the river's stepping stone. I skip through the undulating book pages. Just what a wonderful way to lead into this this break. And I thought it was just exceptionally well done. So thank you, Kiku, very much for the write. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, I looked up what that first word meant, and it means to buy reading materials and let them pile up. So, you know, that's a great introduction into all the rest, all the rest of the writing. So that's really so neat. And, the description of that Phil just read really fits that, you know. It's like each one is a little prompt. And each little brevity, if you can, is a little stanza, is, you know, the written to the prompt. And, you know, Phil read the first one, but I really liked also the second one to, you know, make a wish reminiscent, scent, wafting desire, the smoky wick, twirls, ribbon, melted cake, now cloy to waxen tongues. You know, that's so beautiful, you know, and so, you know, the way that you just, the melted cake now cloy to waxen tongues. And just before, you know, the smoky wick, twirls, ribbon, that's such a beautifully written little brevity on making a wish. But, I mean, all of them are so neat. I mean, this is so clever and so witty. It's such an intelligent write by Kaiku here. Very clever.
Mm-hmm. I got to agree with you there, because I think that Sudoku, that first sampling, gives you a key into what everything else is about. It's all a touch of digging into a little bit, but not enough. In other words, gathering up all those papers, the books, magazines, whatever, but you don't really read them. You might glance through, because you hit on that, she hits on that first stanza. I skip through the undulating book pages, and then you get the next one, reminiscent, scent wafting desire, the smoky wick twirls ribbons, now cloy to waxen tongues. It kind of hits the sort of a romance novel. And then a lesson from you. There's a little bit of philosophy in that. The busker, something about street musicians. And then again, something a quip from mother. Mother often said heaven and hell were too easy. How the afterlife could be so black and white, but where's the gray? Where's that in between? And then again, with the best is to finish out. It's nice little touches to understand, knowing a little bit about the material, but not understanding because you didn't take the time to walk into it. And maybe that's it, because you don't want the melancholy that comes with it. Because, and she hits on that note, often they may not intermingle. Abandonment is part of writing. Perhaps the best revision is to start the next poem. You get lost. Instead of trying to fix that at the moment, maybe it is best to move into the next thing until something comes along that tells you, hey, finish that last one you had as long as you saved it. Nicely done, Kiku. All right, Gene, we're back to you.
Okie doke. Well, Rex, I'm bringing the next piece to you, and this is by Jack Tomkiewicz, and it's called Circles. So whenever you're ready.
Circles by Jack Tomkiewicz. Baby hawks eat fluffy balls of cute baby squirrels die. Eyes pecked out on trails scattered. Baby owls eat hoo-hoo cheep-cheep baby bunnies die. Fur shredded in clumps. That's how it goes. Circle of death, squared with life. Mama Nature is one fierce mother. And Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, yeah. You know, Mama Nature is one fierce mother. The circle of death. Yeah. The nature is, you know, fierce. And, it doesn't show mercy, if you can say it like that. And this is so true, you know, everything, you know, the baby hawks that eat the squirrels, the baby owls that eat baby bunnies, you know, yeah, the circle of life for sure. Well stated here, Jack Tomkiewicz, and, you know, amazing little write. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Naomi. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, this is, yes, this hits you where it hurts, doesn't it? We all talk about, you know, the nature and how cruel it can be and how everything eats everything else. And yet we're so lucky. We just go to a supermarket and we pick up something wrapped in plastic. We don't have to know that it had a face. had a family. You know, we just take it home and eat it. So, yeah, this brings it to you. This makes you remember that it's not that simple, that something has to die for something else to live. And that is nature. And, yes, it's a fierce mother. So I thought this was beautifully done. Very well written. Thank you, Jack, for sharing.
Thank you, Kate. And Laurent, how about you?
Are you on mute, Laurent? Yeah.
I sure enough was, and I apologize deeply. The circle, this is a very attractive piece to me. The circle of death Jack talks about is also a circle of life, each feeding the other. Caution and attack taught by that fierce mother.
Excellent. Thank you, Laura. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, what I wrote was only the strong survive in the circle of life. You know, that the hawk, the mother hawk, was strong enough to, you know, catch her prey and, you know, were smart enough and so on and so forth down the line here. But I thought it was a very nicely done brevity. So thanks for sharing with us, Jack. Appreciate it. Well done.
Thank you, Gene. Yeah, it is about the circle of life, the circle of death, because they're all intertwined. But I like his that last stanza offers up a very wry and dry note to humor. Circle of death squared with life. Mama nature is one fierce mother. Very true. Thank you, Jack.
That's some pretty grim humor.
Well, it is, because you look at people, how they view things when it comes to, you see a kid, they'll go, ew, that's mean and nasty, but as you get older, you understand how things work, and your point of view changes a little because everything eats or gets eaten at some point in life.
Mm-hmm.
Even us.
Amen.
On the back end of things.
Yep.
All right, Gene, we're back
to you. Okay, well, the next one I have an audio for, and this is by Arcana Amore, and it's called The Portal to My Mind. So up that goes, and it goes.
There is a world that lies just beyond, almost within reach, yet forever untouchable. I gaze upon it, seeking stranded semblances of something familiar I prefer to recognize. Yet with tortured breath, I question this vision. Is it something real? Or merely fake facades? I search within each distant detail, looking for something much more than echoes. A sign of sentience from somewhere deep within, that stares back through a drowning void, choosing to act afar in motioned metaphors that mimic and mock in mirrored mimes. This place of seduction that intrinsically entices, inviting the beholder venture within, to melt between realms and merge thereafter, into a beckoning visage that yields out yonder, then morphs into reflections of residual reality, where illusions, divisions, delusions collide. I watch each hour, each day, each year, as details change in deepening depictions, etched in faint memories of bygone borders that wave back at me with beseeching beguile, tempting imagined images be conjured and coaxed to summon me forth into alluring alternatives. As a portal portrays pictures from inside my mind.
Great read, Arcana. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Kate, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, this was wonderful. I really enjoyed this. I like anything, to be honest, that he does. Arcana reads his own words so beautifully. But this is particularly good because it's looking into another universe, looking into something that you can't touch or reach yet, but you know it's there. And it's inviting because it's not where you are now, it's where you want to be. I thought it was beautifully done. All of it, Father Tetrarch, is absolutely great. That last couple of lines, to summon me forth into alluring alternatives as a portal portrays pictures from inside my mind. So we don't know if any of this is other than just his imagination, but beautifully done. And the music was great as well. So thank you, Arcana. Most enjoyable.
Nice, Kate. Thank you. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I think it's a very dark, right? But it's excellently written to that prompt. But I think it's relatable to all of us because, you know, we all have, you know, in our mind, you know, this, like this dark realm of thoughts that we etch, you know, in our mind, and you know, where we stand in it, and we sometimes want to wander into it, you know, but just distorted pictures in our mind and our what we can be, where we can be, what was, what is, what can be, what will be, like Kate said, you know, and they all get distorted in our thoughts, and so very, very brilliantly written piece, and you know, I was very captivated. From stanza to stanza, really intrigued me, and bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. And Laurent, how about you?
Yeah, Arcana is a complete package, as it were. It is writing. To me, this discusses or observes that shadow world of memory, where we sometimes massage the past to ourselves. As Arcana says, I gaze upon it seeking stranded semblances of something familiar I prefer to recognize. I think sometimes our subconscious paws at our memory like a curious cat. When he says, etched in faint memories of bygone borders that wave back at me with beseeching beguile, tempting imagined images, I think it's more of a wish fulfillment also, taking instances in the past, rearranging them slightly to suit ourselves. Fascinating work.
I like that. Thank you. And Jean, how about you?
How did I know I was next? Well, you can hear me too. That's pretty good. I thought it was an excellent piece by Arcana. Wonderful take on the prompt, yet the prompt isn't necessary for the poem. It's surely a standalone piece. His use of alliteration is nicely done, just enough to be pleasing to the ear. And as always, the performance was on point. I kind of grabbed up these lines. I search within each distant detail, looking for something much more than echo, a sign of sentience from somewhere deep within that stares back through a drowning void, choosing to act afar in motion metaphors that mimic and mock in mirrored minds. Just a really well done piece, and thank you, Arcana, as always, for sharing with us. Much appreciated.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. There is notes to both joy and fear in this, and the idea kind of hits me with the thought of if you look into the abyss, eventually the abyss looks into you. Because he hits on that note in the third stanza, where illusions, divisions, delusions collide. When you get to that point of where it all morphs into a singularity, then you have to take note of how far do you go before you get swallowed in all that is created in the moment. But nicely done, Arcana. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back good to you.
Okay, and again, Frank is smoking? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to put up this next piece, and it's called Come Play With Us by Stelina. And I have an audio for that as well. So here it goes.
Can you see me? Hello? Can you find me?
Deceptive aerial angelic disposition. Prettily painted physiognomy. Never even notice our changed position after nightly jaunts, fiendishly free, gaslighting you into doubting your mind, a daylight's demise, arousing the ghouls, inhabiting insidious incarnations grind, the cogs in your heads, you gullible fools.
Can you find me? I'm here. Behind you, look. Behind you. I'm behind you.
I am right behind you. Senses are deceived in the ominous gloom. Indistinct flurries in the mirror. What was that? Echoing pitter-patter in shadows of your room. Trying to convince yourself it's just the cat. Souls that emerge through a final breath. Searching for host in a phantasmal physique. Forever they're incarcerated after death. Telepathically, their mutual intention speaks.
We will haunt you. We will taunt you.
And menacing mean, and confuse you in the day with our death disguise, our perverse purpose, your sanity to demean, playing with your senses as we whisper in your ears, or is it the wind screaming through the rafters, insecurity within you, now driving you to tears, convinced that what you hear is demonic laughter.
If you don't come play with me, and we will kill you.
We will haunt you. We
and come play with me, and we will kill you.
Great reach, Selena. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Naomi, let's start with you.
Oh, my gracious. This sent shivers down, up and down my spine. Oh, my gracious. Oh, oh yeah. But, you know, she sings so beautifully, Selena. But, oh, my gracious, what a haunting piece. And, you know, you don't even realize, I didn't even realize to the end that it rhymed. I was so caught up and into it, you know, just the whispering and everything. And then when she said, the whisper says, we're behind you. Oh, my gracious. What a great, great SoundCloud. That's awesome, awesome. You know, stunning SoundCloud for sure. Amazing, Selena.
Excellent. Thank you. Laurent, how about you?
Wow. This rite has that creepy quality of inanimate objects possessed by a great evil that successfully manifests in a pair of dolls, another iconic image that has gone the way of the clown, forever altered from its beginnings. The little songs are so well performed, raise the hair on the back of my neck. This is not an easy poem to forget.
Nice. Thank you, Rob. Kate, how about you?
Oh, I got exactly the same shiver, Naomi, when she got to the part about I'm behind you and I'm going, oh, no, I'm not looking around. I don't care. Oh, man, that was so good. Selena, you are amazing. I thought it was fabulous. I'm gonna play it again later on and scare myself to death again. So good. and you're singing? Beautiful. Yes. Thank you. Want more of that? Wonderful.
Thank you, Kate. All right, Jean, what about you?
Well, you know, I thought it was a great piece by Selena. Very well done and very creepy. There's nothing truer in life than creepy dolls. You know, the ones whose eyes are painted just where they always look like they're following you around the room. Oh, yeah, all that good stuff. Yep, yep, yep. I thought it was the most excellent piece and very haunting. I thought it was a great audio. And I picked up this section. I mean, it was kind of hard to pull one. Souls that emerge through a final breath. Wow, hang on. Wow, make it really large. Souls that emerge through a final breath, searching for hosts in our phantasmal sleep. Trapped forever, they're incarcerated after death. Telepathically, their mutual intention speaks. And then it goes into the, we will haunt you, we will taunt you, we'll deceive you, never leave you. Come play with us, come stay with us, come and find us, follow us. Just either great lines and great imagination in this, where she could pull it together and really make something a little bit, you know, like creepy. Creepy is a good word. I'll stick with it. So definitely nice work, Selena, and thank you so much for sharing. Absolutely.
Great comment, everybody. And I'll agree. But I got two things to go with it. Reminds me of a female Chucky and two episodes out of the Twilight Zone, especially the one that had Kelly Savalas as the star, in which the doll actually killed him. So...
yeah.
It works on that level. I like it. Nicely, I wasn't expecting you. And the voice change was perfect for this. The little girl attitude and demeanor was perfect. Nicely done, Selena. All right. Where to next?
Okie doke. This is Eno Rex. I kind of do remember that episode of Twilight Zone. So, yeah, it was creepy. It was. Okay,
he did everything to try to destroy that doll, but couldn't.
Oh, man. Those dolls, God. Dolls can be really creepy. If there's a room full of them, I'm telling you. I don't know if I even have to tell anybody. I just know that how they unnerve me a little bit. And let's see. Rex has a next piece for you to read. And this is called Batman Dead Man. And it's by Lawrence 67. Yeah, here we go.
Batman, Badman, BTO Man.
Holy moly, Batman, look, it's the bat signal.
Good observation, Robin. It only fills up the entire Dark Knight. To the Batmobile.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na, Batman, Batman, Batman.
Commissioner, we got here just as fast as we could. What's the emergency? The Riddler? The Joker? The Penguin? It's worse than that. Life as we know it will never be the same as we are doomed. Holy good night, Batman. Oh, that's original, Robin. Did you think that up all by yourself? Commissioner, don't sugarcoat it. Give me the blind force truth. Holy shocking shenanigans, Bartman. Commissioner, tell me, so that I may have a chance to save the planet. Sorry, Batman, but you have BTO. Holy stinky dinky. I thought the sewers had sprung leaks, Batman. Huh? Me? BTO? But I don't smell anything. P.U., Batman, you stink. I'm going to go see if the Flash needs a Robin sidekick. Holy Speedy Gonzales, Flash. Wait up. It's me, the Boy Wonder. But, Commissioner, we can get through this. Commissioner? Commissioner? Damn, bat senses are tingling. Got to get rid of this BTO bad, bat odor. Batman, Batman, never mind. And then poem.
Oh,
all right, Kate, we're going to start with you.
Oh, my gracious.
Did you say me, Rex?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't quite catch it. Well, this is fabulous. This is so clever. I love all these clever things that are happening tonight. This is a really good, holy good night, Batman. Oh, that's original, Robin. You think about that all by yourself. And you're so anxious to get something to do, and then you're told he's not the nicest smelling person in the world. Beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. I was enjoying your read as well. It was fantastic. You threw yourself into that one. Wonderful. So, yes, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Lauren67. It made me smile, and I like that.
Nice, Kate. Thank you. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, this is so amazing. Boy, the beginning just, and your read of it, bravo, Rex, there. You really got into it. You made it really, you know, you made it what it was, so much, so funny. And BTO, bad, bad odor. But wasn't BTO the last band that you had on when I was there?
Yeah.
It's also a band, a rock band, so that's kind of cool. And, just amazing lines. I love the dialogue throughout, and so funny. Well done, Lauren67.
Thank you, Naomi. And, Laurent, how about you?
A very underrated magazine, in my opinion, Mad Magazine. Back in the 80s and the 90s used to do wonderful mocking parodies of famous characters, just like Batman. In fact, I may have done a couple of them. And I can just see this whole situation being illustrated by one of their artists, like Jack Davis, who's an excellent satiric artist. And I think he carried it off very well. It would have fit their whole theme perfectly. Really enjoyed this piece. Nice humor.
Excellent. Thank you, Rob. All right, Jean, what about you?
Well, you know, I thought it was an interesting take on your prompt for the show. Humorous work, and I wanted to thank Lawrence for sharing with us. You know, clever piece.
Absolutely. He did offer up a note at the back end. Prompt BTO. I apologize. I'm getting on in age and didn't see the T. I thought it was just B.O., my bad, man. So he continues the humor into his A.M. for everybody. But, yeah, I love Lawrence's stuff because he offers up the oddball quirkiness of human nature, although it's usually about his cats. I like these ones, too, because he's done Tarzan, and this one was funny, just for the pure, as Laurent noted, making fun of something iconic and getting into it and having a blast. Wonderfully done, Lawrence. Thank you very much.
All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okay. Kate, can I get you to read this next piece? It's called Karma by Half a Soul.
Yes, of course. I'm just trying to speed up the getting it. Okay. Wow, I got it. Amazing. Karma. Here we go, Karma. Fenced in. Ghost stories parents tell, beware. A gentle creature with a sign on his back, handle with care. Cursed by sunlight, he eats the stars and wishes every night he doesn't know why he isn't his own. His reflection shows a beating heart, but in the eyes of others, show disdain. Sorrows heard from the blackberry sky by the moon who calls him a thief. He apologizes and is drowned by the moonlight, for it is a gift. Legend in the night, a song who will become sung to children by guilty parents. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, what a gripping first stanza. Fenced in, ghost stories parents tell, beware. Gentle creature with a sign on his back, handle with care. And then the ending, which is kind of in opposition, legend in the night, a song you'll become, sung to children by guilty parents. Yes, guilty with the pleasure of scaring a child, perhaps. Great piece.
Thank you, Laurent. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, like we have a, you know, this, you know, we scare our children with the banan tapar here in Quebec. You know, this is brilliantly written, and I think it has a deeper meaning inside of it. You know, like not to scare your kids, because, you know, I don't know. I have to read over it a couple of times, but I see a kind of a deeper message in here, and but well-written piece indeed. And like Laurent, that first stanza was just amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Naomi. And Kate, how about you?
Sorry, I was just getting my cough sweetie out of my mouth. Oh, yes. It was wonderful to read. I really enjoyed it. I don't know about a gentle creature with a sign on his back. I'm afraid that's something I don't know anything about, so I can have to go past that one. But I do like The Legend in the Night, a song you will become, sung to children by guilty parents. Yes, why do parents tell their children terrible stories? Very weird. But I thought it was beautifully done. And ghost stories. My parents never told me ghost stories. Okay. But, yes, I thought it was beautifully done. And I will look into this and I'll try and understand it more than I can at the moment, because I don't know most of what was being talked about. But I thought it was very clever and I enjoyed the way it was written. So thank you for that.
All right. Thank you, Kate. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought it was a well-penned piece. I thought it was clever and it was well-expressed. You know, kind of with the consensus here that I like the first stanza, and I also like the second one. What I tried to do was take the word karma and insert it into each one to build on that thought. You know, karma's reflection shows a beating heart, but in the eyes of others, shows disdain. You know, sorrows heard from the blackberry sky by the moon who calls him a thief. He apologizes and then drowned by the moonlight, where does he get? I think there is, as you said, Naomi, a little bit of a deeper meaning. You just have to kind of pull it together just a little bit in order to have that thought flow in your mind. But I think it was well done and intriguing. Good write. So thank you for sharing with us. Half a soul.
I'm going to go along with that bit too, because I think Naomi hit the right angle. It does have a deeper meaning to me. It walks kind of like a Grimm's fairy tale. There's a moral behind the end notes of the story itself. Well, even though it does offer up a note of, like you said, beware. So you've got beware to start off that first, but in the back end, you get legend, a song you'll become. It's like the ring around the rosy that speaks of the Black Death, and little notations to the strangeness of what kiddie songs, where they actually came from. They came from darkness. And maybe that's the guilt they're talking about at the back end. So, nicely done, Hap. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're back on you.
Well, next piece I have, Laurent, if you would read this for me, it's called Fracturing Mirrors.
All right. I recognize that title. Okay. Fracturing Mirrors. Evil is celebrated, grinding out goodness, retribution rewarded. Mirrors cast no reflection of me, denying my presence, acknowledging yours. You haunt me, spectral figure, gauzy manifestation floating over my invisible shoulder. Sound exists, but only as the dull pulse of trembling life echoing in my ears. Touch offers new sensations, your unseen caress of arousal, this clammy skin feel of cobwebs dipped in morning dew, clinging, trailing behind like a torn and faded wedding gown that has lost its purity. You exist in that broken hinterland between our worlds. I refuse to allow your dark to delineate me. My blood roils under the shroud of night, liquid ichor that jellied morphs under the sun, thinning, glowing, a sun spreading its brilliance, the blinding light within me, washing out your peeling, silvered reflection that haunts me, cracking your shadow world, fracturing mirrors. End quote.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. And Naomi, what? Start with you, please.
Oh, I love this a lot. You know, I just love how, you know, all your metaphors that you put into this, you know, the one with the wedding dress, it's just amazing. You know, clinging, trailing behind like a torn and fading wedding gown that has lost its purity. Wow, that's just amazing, you know, how, you know, the reflections, you know, those dark reflections sometimes, you know, they trail us, they haunt us. You know, when you look at yourself in a mirror, you never see your real picture because, you know, the mirror, the reflection, I think it's like backwards. So, you know, you never really see yourself truly by looking in a mirror. So, you know, the fracturing mirrors. I really, really, this was really cool. Like, I really like this piece very well.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Naomi. It was a collaboration.
Thank you, Naomi. And Jean, how about you?
Oh, well, yeah, I thought it was an excellent collaboration. Very well penned piece. Wonderful imagery throughout. You know, and I picked here, touch offers new sensations. Your unseen caress of arousal brings clammy skin feel, cobwebs dipped in morning dew, clinging, trailing behind, like a torn and faded wedding gown that has lost its purity. Great lines, great thoughts, and very well done, Laura. And I have to get there. Where the hell is it? And Knitter of Nightmares. I didn't want to leave her out. So, great job.
Nice. And Kate, how about you?
Actually, I can't really answer that or make a comment because Knitter of Nightmares is not with us at the moment, and she's the person who collaborated. But I'll speak for her until she arrives. It was very well done. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all the stanzas very much, and beautiful. beautifully read, Laurent. I liked it a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, O Weaver of Dreams.
Thank you, honey.
All right. Laurent, I got two ideas out of this. Because you start off with evil and celebrate it, grinding out goodness, retribution, rewarded. There's an idea of the dark and the light that everybody holds within themselves, but that dark can be elevated to a point that offers itself up beyond one's noted recognition of light. But also, that could be the ghost of, and semblance of self, looking in the mirror, understanding that darkness. But you offer up a couple of stanzas which kind of walk a different path. Touch offers new sensations. Your unseen caress of arousal brings clammy skin feel of cobwebs dipped in morning dew, clinging, trailing behind like a torn and faded wedding gown that has lost its purity. You exist in that broken hinterland between our worlds. I refuse to allow your dark to delineate me. That kind of offers up the thought of maybe having committed a murder, killing off your loved one on your wedding night, almost. But, and that's the ghost that surrounds you, the one that that lives to kind of offer up its note of your pain being due, so to speak. But then you finish out with your refusal to let that go, but the fracturing mirror is also kind of hints to me at the idea of the eyes themselves, what they reflect upon you while you look into that mirror. So it can walk either way.
As ever, Rex, you probe deeply.
I try.
Nice. You succeed.
And we're coming back to you, Jean.
Okie doke. Naomi, can I get you to read the next piece for us? This is called Woman by Casey Day.
Yes. Woman by Casey Day. Naked trees reach to the sky, shiver in winter below, beg for the summer sun to transform the frozen snow. To the icy wind she cries, steadfast she waits for the light. Deep inside she can remember what it means to be alive. She is a dangerous thing, wild and bittersweet. Creatures look in awe, fall down at her feet. Losing life, life she brings. Through her comes the dawn of spring. She bears a burden without a crown. She picks them up and lays them down. She is warrior. She is woman. She is warrior. She is woman. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I am woman. Hear me roar. To the icy wind she cries, steadfast she waits for the life. Deep inside she can remember what it means to be alive. The warrior in a woman is sometimes, I think, far fiercer than a warrior in a man. She bears the burdens without a crown, picks them up and lays them down. She is warrior. She is woman. That gender that bears life for long months, gives birth to it in pain, suggests an inner spirit that is indeed the warrior spirit. You have to be to endure that kind of thing, and then endure the flings and arrows that we all have to endure, and yet somehow survive. Excellent, right?
I said, Laurent. Thank you very much. And Kate, what about you?
Oh, this is very, very good. It's deep, and it does have that sort of feminist ring that, you know, women have a lot to put up with, and women should have their place, et cetera, which I firmly believe in. So I think it was written very well from that point of view. But we, you know, we all have our burdens to bear. And the two sexes have to learn to live together. That's the way it should be. There's no one better than the other, no one worse than the other. But I love the sentiment here that, you know, she's a warrior, she's a woman. She is a warrior, she is a woman. Yes, I like that a lot. It was very well written. So thank you, Casey. I really enjoyed it. Beautifully put together and very interesting.
Thank you, Kate. Naomi, you got to read it. What about you?
Now, this is an awesome piece by Casey. She losing life, life she brings. It's so true. The woman, she bears the children. Through her comes the dawn of spring, the rebirth. She bears a burden without a crown. She picks them up and lays them down. She's often in our society, the women take care of the children. Well, not always there, but, you know, in majority of times, and she is, takes care of the women, of the children, and nourishes them and makes sure that they're well taken care of she becomes a lioness, but in many different ways. And, you know, she is a warrior and she is woman, and so true, and beautifully, beautifully written, this poem by Casey Day.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was an excellent brevity. Well written and well said. She's a dangerous thing, wild and bittersweet. Creatures look in awe, fall down at her feet. Losing life, life she brings. To her comes the dawn of spring. She bears the burdens without a crown. She picks them up and lays them down. Wonderful, wonderful lines there. Very well said. So I think Casey did an excellent piece here with you. I'm not sure if it was a prompt or just off the top of her head, but, you know, great job and nice work.
It was for my contest, Essence of a Woman.
It was the image here that's on the top. Nice.
Oh, the image. Nice. Yeah, so the image.
Very cool.
Well, that clarifies everybody's thoughts on this piece, because I was thinking a little bit different. This can easily, even though it is about woman itself, it can also easily reflect Mother Earth and nature as it sits, because of the language she's chosen. Beg for the summer sun to transform the frozen snow. The icy wind she cries, steadfast she waits for the light deep inside. She can remember what it means to be alive. That can spring easily as Earth itself. So nicely done, Casey, in a dual thought. And Jean, what's coming up? Back up to you.
Okay, well, that brings me back to you, Rex. I have another piece here called Said to Go by Lockdown Mark. So whenever you're ready.
Said to Go by Lockdown Mark. If I had your back because I loved you so, and cut you some slack, your trust I needed to know. When fate delivers a lost trust, who can pay it no mind? Who lets go of the unjust? Not the one who is unkind. So sad I know, but can I let it go? I cannot. So sad I know, but can I let it go? I can't, I see, if I am to be free. One last kiss, ending out this. We don't belong. You done me wrong. I was blind. I now see the light, trying to deny the truth is crying, playing me for a good man, and my trust is dying. A heavy heart misses a beat, and yet when I see your smile, I just wanted us to be complete. But paying no mind is not my style. So sad I know, but can I let it go? I must not, I see, if I am to be free. One last kiss, ending our bliss. We don't belong, you've done me wrong. So sad I know, but I must let go. So sad I know, but I must let go. So sad I know, but I must let go. So sad I know, but I must let go. That's all. All right, Gene, why don't we start with you?
I knew you were going to do that. Now I know, right? Because I was behind on the read. I thought it was a nice piece by Lockdown Larks. You know, I like the repeat stanza again. You know, so sad, I know, but I can't. But can I let go? I can't. I see if I am to be free. One last kiss, ending our bliss. We won't be long. You've done me wrong. You know, it just kind of sums up each of the other stanzas, the longer ones. Blind now, but see the light. Trying to deny the truth is crying. Playing me for a good night. And now my trust is sighing. A heavy heart misses a beat. And yet when I see your smile, I just wanted us to be complete. But paying no mind is not my style. Yeah, I think it's a sad tale, you know, of, you know, just, it's Let It Ride. Okay, well, yeah, I thought it was a great job. So nicely done. And thank you for writing for the BTO contest. Great job, Larks, and thank you. There you go.
Thank you, Gene. And Kate, what about you?
I think this is obviously sad, but I love the fact that the person involved so very much wants to not see what's happening, doesn't want to. It's not something he needs in his life, and yet he can't deny it. He can't accept anything but the truth, and so he has to admit that he done him wrong. Oh, so sad. But a brave person who can say, right, you're not getting away with it. Off you go. I don't want you. So I think it was beautifully written. And, oh, so sad, but beautifully written. Thank you, Lockdown.
Thank you, okay. Laurent, how about you?
A broken heart, pressing itself. Music is required to accompany these song lyrics. And, you know, I have a hard time telling the difference between a good song lyric and poetry. I really think that music is poetry set, or a song is poetry set to music. And he does, I think, a fine job in crafting it in such a way that it could be accompanied, I think, by a mournful cello playing slowly in the background as the images from Sad to Go follow the music. I enjoyed the piece thoroughly.
Thank you, Laurent. And Naomi, how about you?
This was a great write by Lockdown Larks on that song by BTO, Let It Ride. If you listen to that song, you know, it really reflects the sentiments in this poem. So like Laurent said, yeah, it would be great to put the music. This piece, it has a great lyrical quality to it. So well done, Lockdown Larks.
Excellent. It is a note to the song itself. It questions that note of letting it ride. And with this one, it just offers up that note. Hey, you broke that trust, and I can't let this ride. So I've got to let you go because, hey, you know what it is? It is what it is. You've already broken me. I won't go for a second round. So nicely done, Larks. Thank you very much. All right, Gene. Back to you.
Okay. Cool. The next piece I have up is by this woman called Weaver of Dreams. I think I've heard of her.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Let me see. I'll have an audio for this, so here we go.
Darkness has always been a safe sanctuary, needing only a flicker of candlelight within the blackness of that vast expanse to hold back the shadows that define the night. Suddenly, everything has changed around me. Where darkness was once welcomed with delight, now coldness and creeping dread surround me. Can I hide from the shadow of the night? For out there, edging closer, someone stirs. I feel again the chill of passing flight. I see a flash of red eyes, fang-like teeth. Can I defy the shadow of the night? I fled into the darkness to escape this fiend whose desires I have to fight. I'd rather die than feel his vile touch. Can I escape the shadow of the night? I sense before I see I'm not alone. My childhood sweetheart holds me tight. His arm is around me, weapon drawn. He is my shield from the shadow of the night.
Great read, Kate. Thank you for the sound bath. It is very much appreciated. And Laurent, why don't we start with you?
Certain people provide eternal comfort, and certainly a childhood sweetheart is the natural person to do that. Not just a sweetheart, but a childhood sweetheart. Some of them have seen you grow up from infancy or from a young age to adulthood. The chill felt at the darkness once welcomed with delight, now spawning coldness and creeping dread. Can I hide from the shadow of the night? Can I defy the shadow? Can I escape the shadow? He is my shield from the shadow. It is a partial repetition that really carries the poem from beginning to end, finding a very satisfactory denouement. Excellent piece here.
Nice. Thank you, Lo. And Naomi, how about you?
I really liked Laurent's comment. For out there, edging closer, someone steers. I feel again the chill of a passing flight. I see a flash of red eyes, fang-like teeth. Can I defy the shadow of the night? Ooh, well written, Kate, all through. And what a wonderful dark poem indeed. So a wonderful write and so well done.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. Jean, how about you? You got to unmute.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I like how you started this piece out, Kate. You know, darkness has always been a safe sanctuary, needing only a flicker of candlelight within the blackness, that vast expanse, to hold back the shadows that define the night. And then, you know, you go into how it changes, and, you know, it gives you this different kind of edge on it. And then for out there, edging closer, someone stirs. I feel again the chill of passing flight. I see a flash of red eyes, fang-like teeth. Can I defy the shadow of the night? You know, and then it just gets better and better. And then, you know, you're not alone, and your childhood sweetheart is there to rescue you. And that's a wonderful thing, because it's an innocence there that steps up and defends you. And I think that is a neat way to do it, and very well penned. A great job.
Thank you so much.
Nice, Jean. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want that same angle. That opening does hit on the safety of childhood with the candle, but all, and keeping out the monsters under the bed, in the closet, whatever. But that second one does change a little bit, maybe getting into teenage years a bit. Then that third stanza offers up something a little bit deeper because of the someone stirs. I see a flash of red eyes, fang-like teeth. Can I defy the shadow of night? That can walk into the realm of Bram Stoker's Dracula, but it might also walk into the realm of understanding the newness of a different kind of a monster. And then that fourth one, fled into the darkness to escape this fiend whose desires I have to fight. But also paint the ugliness and fear of being brutalized. But that last stance kind of walks walks right back to the beginning with the childhood understanding of having that good buddy, that friend, that sweetheart that always took the fear out of you when you had those moments of angst and anxiety. So nicely done all the way through.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Back to you, Gina.
Oh, my goodness. Now, let me see. Okay. Let me grab the triangle. Done. So I want to pass up on comments for these last couple, and I'll write it in the written comments. This piece is called Whispers of Never by Robert M. There we go.
This is my recital of Whispers of Never. I remember when I first saw your smile, it was like the gates of heaven opened just for me, to show me what true beauty and wonder could be. It was seemingly like the stars, in all of their glorious divinity, imparted their wisdom and warmth, and instilled it upon my soul, if only for the briefest of moments. It was as if the stars had shone just for you. That moment is when I discovered what adoration was. From that point on, every silken curve of her face, every sparkle of her baubles of sunset were etched into my mind. Not even my dreams could escape her influence. One day, I gathered up the nerve to attempt to court her. She was as beautiful inside as she was outside, and showed mercy to a desperate fool who stuttered in her presence. Over time, it had seemed like the cosmos had made a universal blunder, in that this much happiness could be contained in such a small body. However, time speaks. It speaks in the harshest of languages, the language of truth. A whisper in the back of my mind warned me that things would not last, that they seemed too good to be true. And so it was. Her desires had grown beyond me, and her unsated passion had bloomed in the form of betrayal. Every treacherous lie, every manipulative whisper slithered its way into my heart, greased by naivety. She was all that I ever wanted. She was the only star in my sky. But sometimes loving someone just isn't enough. If the stars had shone just for her, then the sky would be a reflection of the void in me.
Great read, Robert. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Kate, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, this is just so lovely. It's very sad, but read so well. I was captivated by the voice, but I also enjoyed the poetry so much. It is true that you can put all and everything into one person, and that is a dangerous thing, because then you've given them all of you, and you generally don't get much back, if I'm honest. But the fact that you realized, or the person in the poem realized, that things weren't quite right, was great, because you were sort of pre-warned, I suppose. I thought it was beautifully written, and I really enjoyed the whole story of it, and the fact that that it was as sad as it was is makes it that much more true to life, more of you in it than you maybe realize. But I thought it was wonderful. So thank you for sharing.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, wow. You know, I was so captivated by this right. Sorry, Robert, but I read ahead. I read ahead of him. I just wanted to know what was going to happen. You know, it was just amazing. You know, and that those last lines, if the stars had shone just for her, then the sky would be a reflection of the void in me. Wow, you know, what a powerful last lines to finish an amazing write, you know, very heartfelt write, very emotive write on, you know, desiring somebody and, you know, then having them, you know, leave you and you're left with that void inside for sure. So a very relatable poem to everybody, I think, and amazing, right?
Excellent. Thank you, Naomi. And Laurent, how about you?
Again, wow. Thinking the stars were shining on the both of them, on their love, making it special. And then undergoing the realization that perhaps light was all for her, none for you, that you were simply bathed in it because of your association with this individual. It's so sad that someone who desperately needs love, who has known only darkness and despair in the past, should be treated so cruelly with betrayal. It's hard to stomach sometimes because that person who so needed love, who described themselves as a desperate fool who stuttered in her presence, to then be overthrown. And now, how much worse is it going to be? That betrayal is poison. I do agree with, I forget who it was, Naomi perhaps, who spoke of the last lines. The sky being a reflection of the void in me is a wonderful way to finish it. It takes imagination and skill to come up with something like that. So Robert possesses in large quantities. Great piece.
You're absolutely right. I walk along the same thoughts you did because it kind of bites at two angles. You look at that the happiness shown in that first half, and then right down, you get to that one day I gathered up there to attempt a corner. She was as beautiful inside as she was outside and showed mercy to a desperate fool better than present. That's almost the finish right there, because then it kind of separates itself a little bit. Over time, it seemed like the cosmos had made a universal blunder in that this much happiness could be contained in such a small body. And then, however, that niggling doubt crawls in. How could I deserve this, so to speak? And then it becomes fruitful and multiplies to the point where betrayal becomes the next step and everything turns dark once again. So nicely done, Robert. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Guys, the next piece I'm going to put up is, if I can do it. Face of a Fiend by Poetic Picasso. And I have a stanza for that. So here we go.
Nervous. So terribly nervous am I to narrate the entire story. The anxiety had consumed me like the effects of an opium drug. The tingling trepidation had rocked my fragile mind and disrupted it, causing me to drift into a forlorn, hypochondriac state of no return. The eerie echoes of a fierce fiend reverberate so forcibly through the atrabilious gloom of the dark halls of isolation. His sinister laughter tortures me to a deafening madness I abhor, for there is no actual escape except succumb to death. The madness had not dulled my wits nor my intelligence at all. Instead, it had increased tenfold my superb and acute audition to the incredible things surrounding me day and night I had ignored before. For I heard many things and sounds that easily disregard and not notice. I had gained the accolade and just merit of the great elite of science. My compeers had revered me and considered me a laudable genius, but they were not aware of the depraved proclivity of my impulses to commit the sinful acts and debauchery of my heedless reverie. Thus, I alleviated in every gluttonous sin and perverse temptation broken, till I drank myself in the constant bottles of my heart, liquor and lust, forsaking my reputation and decorum as a prominent doctor of a Victorian society. For it was too late. I could not thwart the influence of the abominable fiend. You see, when I stare into the mirror of my dreaded reflection closely, I see the face of a fiend with a ghastly look in his little beady eyes, and his pointed ears and jagged teeth protrude ever so hauntingly. His breath is a toxic vapor, and his skin is covered in the marks of disease. Yet he is me. How much can I bear the burden of my drop so in agony? When will I wake up from this horrendous nightmare to live? Is death the only way to free myself from the inescapable fiend? Yes, yes, I shall plunge him into the inferno of condemnation. I can hear his creepy voice.
You cannot escape me. I am part of you, evil from within. No! No! In the bone.
Great read, Frank. Thank you for the sound pad. It is very much appreciated. And Naomi, let's start with you.
Oh, yes. I mean, the eerie echoes of the fierce fiend reverberate so forcibly through the atrabilious gloom.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah, he, you know, this is like Edgar Allan Poe revisited and it came back to life. you know, the evil from within that it is haunting him and coming back, you know, haunting and haunting. Just a wonderful, creepy and haunting and ghastly write from Frank here, as he can so well do them. Bravo, Frank.
Thank you, Naomi. And Laurent, how about you?
Yeah, I'm trying to tie Gene for number of mutes. the fiend within, how do we conquer it? Well, through death. Imagine having to sacrifice yourself to kill that part of you with such finality that terrifies you, that fiend within. I absolutely agree with the comment on Poe. This had a lot of the flavor of Poe. A character beginning to tell a horrifying story of something that happened to him, and is usually happening in real time as we read it. I tell you, Frank's got to take care of his voice. That rasp, reading in that rasp, can absolutely ruin a voice, but he does it so effectively, so well. And that last little bit, spoken from deep in his throat, it was all throat, no chest, no head. Just throat, and beautifully, eerily, creepily done.
Nice. Thank you, Laurent. And Katie, how about you?
Oh, whoa. That last part. Oh, so creepy and so well done. I thought, yeah, I love the storyline as well. I mean, you know, we think we're all that we should be. We try to become good people. There was somebody who was a doctor, but you can't ignore it. If it's in there, it will get out. That nasty side gets out. And the trouble is, unfortunately, that the good side kind of enjoys the bad side, because they can say, well, it's nothing to do with me, because I'm the good one. So that, you know, that is excellent. You've got that inside you. You can fight it, but you still let it out. I thought it was beautifully done. Very creepy, very emotive. Scared the bejesus at me, but thank you very much for sharing. I won't sleep tonight again.
I like the Poe angle, guys. But I also see a little bit more in this, a little bit of Dracula, a little bit of Dorian Gray, and some Jekyll and Hyde in this, too. Kind of a mixed bag of what evil represents in a person when they're fully embalmed within it. So nicely done, Frank. And back to you, Gene. But you got to
unmute now,
too.
I don't think I have time for another one. Does anybody think we have time?
We got 2 minutes.
No, we can give it justice. We can give it justice.
Yeah, I have to race through all the comments on it. So I'll tell you what. I want to thank everyone for being here tonight. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 or 6 carryovers for next week. Today, I have to carry. I apologize. What's that, Rex? I'm sorry.
We got 6.
6? Okay. Then it's 6. I hate having any, but that's what happens. You know, that's the way it goes some days. But we did good tonight. Everybody, I appreciate y'all coming over and calling in and reading for us and sharing your poetry for those who did not call. I want to thank you guys for being on the board and for all that you all do for the shows. And, yeah, it's been fun. And Rex, thank you as always for being my co-host. It was a great time, and keep things running smooth, and that's important. So, that being said, I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. And let's see, tomorrow night is Bobby's show tomorrow night, Exploring a Crisis, followed by, we have nothing left a minute more. And then, Rex, what do we have on Sunday?
We've got David Crossley.
That's what I thought. Well, I look forward to hearing those rights, and anybody who feels so inclined, give us another one. You know, we're pretty easy about it. And, so that's it. And I hope everyone has a great weekend. And if y'all need me, you all know where to find me. That's all I can say. And it's 2 minutes early, and I never do 2 minutes early, but I don't have much to say for this. Yeah.
Well,
Monday, you have
to go
into enlightenment. Go ahead. What's that, Katie?
I'm just saying we all had a wonderful time. We all enjoyed ourselves, so that's good, and I hope people listening was enjoying it too.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Good stuff. Absolutely. Okay, well, with that being said, I'm going to call it a night. And thanks, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night. Where's that woman?
Second one.
Scott, yes.
Okay, hang on. Somehow you got thrown the hell out of here. Let me see. Okay, Scott Sharp, Jack Tomkovic, that was his second piece. Matt, 29, A.R. Mundell, After the Fire. I kind of do that too. We did Average White Man, Lawrence, Dark and Orange, Diane D., Kiku, Lauren 67, Half a Soul, Lockdown Larks, we got his second piece in. Laurent, Robert, S. Sharp, okay, S. Sharp, Jack Tomkovic, Matt 29, A.R. Mundell, and After the Fire. I only see 5. That's all right. I cannot hear you. I don't hear you at all.